From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Video from a web camera that allows viewers to watch what goes on in an eagle's nest near Decorah, Iowa, has received 200 million hits worldwide. The man behind the eagle cam and a Boy Scout from Minnesota are hoping to have similar success with a project involving a peregrine falcon's nest. This weekend, they're installing a camera on Minnesota's Great Spirit Bluff, which overlooks the panoramic Mississippi River Valley near La Crosse. Bob Anderson directs the Raptor Resource Project in Decorah, which has worked to help reestablish hunting bird populations in the upper Midwest. I asked him to talk about the historical importance of the peregrine falcon along the Mississippi River.
The peregrine falcon has been a favorite of mankind throughout all of our history. When the peregrine falcon disappeared in the late 40s and by the 1950s, was completely extirpated along the Mississippi River, and for that part, really throughout much of its range throughout the eastern United States, it sent shockwaves. I mean, everybody was worried because the peregrine falcon is nature's top gun, and its disappearance was just, in fact, it led the way for us to discovering the problems with DDT. It was the disappearance of the peregrine falcon that really showed us the problems with with DDT and led the way for us to outlaw it in the country. And we outlawed it in 1971, and gradually there's been a recovery of many, many species of birds like bald eagles and other birds. But the peregrine falcon, because it was mostly extirpated, needed help. So hundreds of people joined hands. A program that started at Cornell University to captive breed them, and then I followed up, started breeding captive breeding falcons here in the Midwest. And it was just a stunning conservation success story. And here we are 40 years later, and the peregrine falcon is back. We now have them nesting in virtually every large city throughout the eastern United States and central United States, but now we have them back on the cliffs overlooking the Mississippi River, where they truly belong.
Why to you, and maybe to others that closely work with this species, why is it important to save them? And I'm wondering if you can also talk about what distinguishes them from other species of falcons.
The peregrine falcon is nature's top gun. It's been clocked at speeds up to 278 miles an hour in a dive. It's wowed mankind throughout our history. And, Mary Queen of Scots had falcons, Genghis Khan had falcons, Shakespeare had falcons. It's just followed the mankind throughout all of our history. And so when it disappeared, it was really shocking to the world. And so it's a marvelous thing that people joined hands and captive bred falcons and did releases and carried out releases, because it's a true conservation success story. The peregrine falcon is the second largest falcon found in North America. It's smaller than the ger falcon, which is only found in the Arctic, and found on every continent in every major island group except for Antarctica. And by the 1950s, was almost completely extirpated throughout all of the United States. We were down to just maybe about a dozen pairs in the remote Rocky Mountains in areas that were far away from DDT use.
So I'm wondering if you can talk about your personal experience with the peregrine falcon, which is also known as the Great Spirit Bluff falcon. How did you fall in love with this bird?
I'm not alone in this. Mankind has loved the peregrine falcon. Even the woodland Indians along the Mississippi built huge, huge falcon effigies, sometimes with 200-foot wingspans, earthen mounds in the shape of the peregrine falcons. The falcon has just been, along the Mississippi River, it actually provides a show. Many years ago, about 30 or 40 years ago, before we had falcons back on these cliffs, I recall meeting an old river rat guy near the town of Lansing. He stopped me when he saw me with my scope looking up at a cliff that it was empty for five decades and didn't have falcons on it. He asked me what I was doing, and I told him that I was hoping someday to have falcons return to this historic cliff. And he said, "Duckhawks, huh? Duckhawks before electricity, before radio and television, the piece of the duckhawks were a form of entertainment." I recall thinking to myself, I probably said something, I too have seen the peregrine fly, and I'm pretty impressed. But now, after we've returned the peregrine falcon to Bluff, like Great Spirit Bluff, now I know what he means. All migrating birds of prey, all hawks and eagles and birds of prey that fly up and migrate up and down the Mississippi Flyway. Right now, they're migrating down. Soon this next spring, they'll be returning up the Mississippi Flyway. They have to run the gauntlet of the territorial peregrines. And when a bird of prey, be it a golden eagle or a bald eagle or a red-tailed hawk, flies anywhere near the face of a cliff that's owned by peregrines, there is a show. It's a huge show. Sometimes it's brutal, but the peregrine falcon, a 2-pound bird, will just annihilate a golden eagle and sometimes outright kill a red-tailed hawk. So now, in retrospect, now I know what that conversation meant, and now I know why the Indians made these huge, huge falcon effigies on the tops of these cliffs, because the peregrine falcon really is a powerful, powerful bird when it comes to, you know, actually taking out and driving away other birds of prey that are much, much larger.
So I'm wondering if you can talk about the project that you're working on this weekend. You're teaming up with Jonathan Howe, who is on his way to hopefully earn his Eagle Scout badge. You'll be putting a web camera in a tree, and you'll be building a nest for a peregrine falcon. Can you go ahead and just talk about that project and kind of how the idea came to fruition?
The Great Spirit Bluff is just a stunning cliff that overlooks, it's on the Minnesota side, that overlooks the city of La Crosse. And about 10 years ago, we attracted falcons to that cliff. And the falcons went to nest on, there's only one ledge on that cliff, and when they went to, they nested, laid their eggs on that ledge, some raccoons got to the eggs and ate them. So I was just devastated, having worked 30 or 40 years to bring the peregrine falcon back. So what we decided to do is we built a nest box, and we mounted it to the cliff face in an area where raccoons couldn't get at. And ever since then, this has been now 10 years now, that nest box mounted to the cliff has been productive. And then Jonathan Howe is part of his seeking, his, what a glorious thing to do, too, to seek his, you know, Eagle Scout merit badge, and has really laid the groundwork to actually hook cameras and microphone into this nest and bring the cables 1,200 feet up to his grandparents' house so we can actually hook it up and make a connection and send the live stream, you know, to the live feed to Ustream. So this is really cool. It really is. It's going to be a lot of work. I mean, these scouts will have to, you know, be trenching and burying the pipe 1,200 feet. Amy Reese and I will rappel off the cliff to install the camera and the microphone, and together we'll bring up and power up a cliff-nesting pair of falcons overlooking the Mississippi for Ustream for the world to see and hear and follow.
And did he approach you about the idea, or did you somehow scout him out?
No, he approached me. Like every year for about the last 10 years, we have an annual where we take one day and we go and we pull the falcons out of the nest, bring them up to the top of the cliff, and we ban the falcons. And the Howe family has participated in that, and I've seen John Howe, you know, Jonathan Howe, since he's been a very young boy. And then to see when he approached me with this idea of actually trying to bring their Great Spirit falcons out to the internet, I signed on and it'll be coming to fruition now in a few days.
And you said that there will be many people helping. It's not just the two of you. There are other Boy Scouts that will be helping, friends and family of Jonathan's and possibly yours. But can you talk about the importance of involving the community in projects like this?
One thing that I've noticed over the years is that sometimes when you bring in a group of scouts like that and you do something, you accomplish it, they take a sense of ownership in it. And so both Jonathan and all of his fellow scouts, every time they drive by that cliff or every time they log onto the internet, they can actually see what they actually accomplished. I mean, they'll have that reward of seeing what they've accomplished and enjoying, you know, the fruits of that labor too. So it's a wonderful sense of ownership. And I've seen it happen many, many times.
And you said that there's already a box that the peregrine falcons have established in that area. Are you also adding another nesting area as well?
No. Jonathan, actually, because we also have falcons nesting on cliffs, and I mean on buildings also, some buildings, as a second part of this project, Jonathan, we have a situation where it's sometimes where we have falcons nesting on buildings that don't have a parapet. We have to when we ban the falcons, we have to block off the front of the box. That means one of us has to reach around the front, and we might be 20 stories up, and it's really kind of scary. And it's also could be dangerous for the young babies if they jumped out during the banding process. So Jonathan actually constructed four nest boxes of a design that actually, when we lift the top of the lid up, it blocks off the front. It makes it much safer for us, those of the band falcons, on the urban structures that have this type of no parapet and things like that. It makes it much safer for us and much safer for the young falcons. So he's actually constructed four falcon nest boxes, and now he's overseeing the all of the work and the labor and the effort to get the Great Spirit Bluff nest box on the cliff online for Ustream.
Unfortunately, Jonathan was unable to join us today, but I'm curious because, I mean, the things you're talking about that he's doing is pretty incredible. Does he want to pursue a career down the line in things that involve conservation or continuing to work with falcons?
Well, I've seen it happen many times in my lifetime. It seems like if you can touch bird, touch wildlife, it just instills an appreciation. That's just, it's hard to measure, but it instills a lot of people that as they grow up to become wildlife and involved in wildlife, you know, when they've been able to see, touch, hear, and smell things that, you know, and be that close to it. So I would not be surprised if this inspires Jonathan to seek, you know, work and, research maybe in an environmental field.
And you're listening to Newsmakers. My guest today is Bob Anderson. He's a conservationist and the director of the Raptor Resource Project in Decorah, Iowa. This weekend, he'll be teaming up with Jonathan Howe, who's working to earn his Eagle Scout badge. And together, they'll be installing a camera in a peregrine falcon's nest near La Crosse. Bob, I'm wondering if you can talk about the Raptor Resource Project, the organization that you lead. What's the goal of the organization?
Well, we formed many, many years ago, and for many decades, actually for like 30 years, we captive bred falcons. We produced the very first falcon to be released in the state of Wisconsin and come back and survive and breed in the state of Wisconsin after being extirpated for 50 years. We also produced the first captive bred falcon that was released in Minnesota that survived and came back and breed in the state of Minnesota and many other states. So we're deeply involved in the return of the peregrine falcon. And then about 20 years ago, we put a camera in a nest box, and all of a sudden our project turned to quite a bit with education. And then just this last year, we joined hands with Ustream, and our cameras in a Decorah eagle nest went viral. This last year, the Raptor Resource Project and Ustream's Decorah Eagle Cam was the number one viewed Ustream on all of the Internet, and it made us probably the number one wildlife education effort on planet Earth. So it's just and now we're expanding it. So now we're going to be, you know, not only having the Decorah Eagle Cam again, working with Ustream, but now we're going to have the Great Spirit Plus Peregrine Falcons. All a conservation success story. The bald eagle once was on the brink of extinction. Its population was crashing, and by eliminating DDT, it's rebounded, and that's a conservation success. The peregrine falcon needed hundreds of people to captive breed and do releases and programs, and now we've brought it back to the point where it's no longer an endangered species. So these are all wonderful, wonderful educational programs to show mankind, show classrooms, to show, you know, students and teachers that, you know, we are capable of correcting environmental wrongs.
And that bald eagle nest camera, I mean, even watching it when the eagles aren't in there, you're just hoping and waiting for them to come back. I mean, is it the anticipation and when the eagles are in the nest and doing something exciting? I mean, is that what has made it so popular? I mean, you even can put advertisements along with the video now. So why did something like that become such a viral hit?
For one thing, the quality. Working with Ustream, we were able to have live video, live audio without it cutting out or being staccato. So the quality is incredible. And because we've worked with bird cams for 20 years, we've learned good cameras. And in this situation, we have a pan-tilt zoom camera, so we can zoom in real tight and actually blow up the egg to where you can actually see the chick breaking out of the air, you know, the eaglet breaking out of the shell. And so we're able to give people just wonderful tight shots that they just would never, ever see. And then this is also a unique situation because it's just it's in an urban area, so you can hear cars and you can hear sometimes people talking, but at 4 in the morning, you can hear the birds singing. And so by having audio and good video, people just really, really, and having the pan-tilt zoom camera, the quality was fantastic. But also, I think it struck a nerve with America. This does not have anything to do with floods or terrorism or wars. People just, I think they really needed a feel-good thing, and the Decorah Eagle Cam really filled that void. It really did this last year. And we have, and right now the eagles are going through a nest reconstruction even at this time. Every morning at dawn, there are the first few hours of daylight now, they're actually bringing sticks to the nest. So people are starting to see the birds return now. We'll go through maybe a month or two where there won't be too much activity, but gosh, by by December, the eagles will be in full nest construction and be seen increasingly amounts in the nest. And by February, there'll be a bird in that nest all the time. So it's just a real good feel-good for planet Earth, and it just filled a void that was needed, and America and the world fell in love with it.
I'm wondering if you can talk about why cameras are such an important part of this project.
Well, and when you think about this, you know, the Core Eagle Cam, the Great Spirit Plus Falcon Cam is really the ultimate reality show, but it's a wonderful, wonderful learning curriculum. This is not Walt Disney-fied. I mean, nothing's being pulled. No punches are being pulled at all. You see the beauty and you see the ugly of nature and the rawness and the wonder of nature, too. You'll see the baby falcon or the adult falcons and adult eagles being bombarded by snow trying to keep their eggs warm or trying to keep their eggs dry while being pelted by driving rain, and then trying to shield the babies from those elements too, and then feeding and protein coming in all different forms, be it maybe at a falcon nest, it might be a pigeon, it could be, you know, a blackbird. At the bald eagle nest, it might be a trout or it could be a sucker. But you actually see protein, you see the circle of life, you see really, with no punches pulled, the wonder, the beauty, and the rawness of nature. It's just an incredible learning tool for wildlife education tool. It's an incredible wildlife education effort.
Do you expect the Peregrine Falcon camera that you're installing this weekend to do nearly as well as the Bald Eagle camera?
I fully hope so. I think, working with Ustream, we're going to feature it together. So we're hoping that teachers will log on to the Core Eagle Cam, and then they can just quickly click over to the Great Spirit Bluff Falcon Cam. You know, we're also hoping to have a turkey vulture cam this year, too, which I think will be quite interesting. So, and we're just hoping to link them with the Ustream, the popular Ustream Decorum Bald Eagle Cam. And I think the public and teachers can just, with a click of a mouse, actually go from one camera to the other and back and forth. I think it's really going to make... just improve it all the way around to have the different species.
That's so neat. What do you hope that people take away from watching these cameras and watching these raptor species, in their rawest form?
Well, they learn. I was kind of surprised that, of course, I've been involved in the biologist for many, many years, but I was surprised that sometimes the naivety that people have about wildlife. I was really shocked. When you get 200,000 people logged on to a camera when it's driving snow, all of a sudden thousands of people are saying, do something, go put an umbrella over that. They don't comprehend that this is nature. So, it's just really, really, it's really interesting to see where we actually are, serving a huge purpose in wildlife education, and probably the Decor Eagle Camp very probably was the largest wildlife education effort on planet Earth this last year. And now maybe with the Great Spirit Plus Falcon Cam linked to Ustream, the Decor Eagle Cam linked to Ustream, maybe our Turkey Vulture Cam, hopefully this next month, linked to Ustream. I'm really hoping that we will, again, fill that void, just providing the world something beautiful to watch, something wonderful to watch, but also a tremendous learning tool.
So we've seen a rebirth in the bald eagle and the peregrine falcon along the Mississippi River in the last 20 years. A lot of that was because of you. What do you see the future of the raptor species in this area?
Well, right now it's great. 40 years ago, it was gloom and doom. The populations were just crashing. And I was really convinced that in my lifetime, the bald eagle would be extinct. I was absolutely convinced that the peregrine falcon would be extinct. So to see mankind join hands, outlaw DDT, capture breed birds, release them, work on efforts to, bolster eagle populations and see the success story, it's just marvelous. It really is, just absolutely marvelous. In my case, for me to drive up and down the Mississippi River and see falcons back on the historic cliffs means the world to me because, even there's a grand person from the state of Wisconsin named Aldo Leopold. And one of Aldo Leopold's students was Fran Hammerstrom, the only woman graduate student that Aldo Leopold had. And Fran Hammerstrom was actually measuring and monitoring the disappearance of the peregrine falcon. And then to see the peregrine falcon come back and to see the roots going back to the father of conservation, Aldo Leopold, her friend Hammerstein had gaboons, as she called them. They were her assistants. And many of them come back and join me now on the cliff bandings. And to see this, you know, this tie to the father of American, you know, conservation, Aldo Leopold, a Wisconsin, doctor of ecology, and the whole father behind conservation, and to see his students, Fran Hammerstein, with her assistants now witnessing and seeing the return of the peregrine falcon, it's an incredible feeling for me. You know, it really is.
Do you think there's a way that people can prevent the decline that occurred 40 years ago within the falcon species? Is there things that you want people to keep in mind so that that doesn't happen again?
Well, I think birds of prey, like the peregrine falcon and the bald eagle, just like man, we're at the top of the food chain. So if there's accumulative chemicals that sometimes can biomass and bioaccumulate, it'll be birds of prey. It'll be the falcons. It'll be the eagles that'll tell us that. So we need to monitor, these species that are at the top of the food chain to make sure that we're not introducing any new boogeymen to the, to the wild or to the environment. And I think it was the disappearance of the peregrine falcon that really showed us the problem with EDT. And I think there are so many chemical cousins that we have to be vigilant, but not paranoid, but I think we have to be vigilant.
Bob, is there anything else you want to talk about today?
Well, I just I guess I'm just hoping that this everything works well for Jonathan. He's put so much time and effort into this, making the Great Spirit Bluff camera and microphone available to Ustream. I was hoping that it all does work. It's a complicated system, and a lot can go wrong, and we're looking at 1,000 feet of cable and computers and, modems and DSL lines. Let's hope everything works and that the falcons return and the fruits, it'll bear fruit. But what a wonderful thing it's a noble thing to do, to work with a scout working on this honor, Eagle Scout merit. And it's just, I feel honored to help.
Bob Anderson is director of the Raptor Research Project in Decorah. He and Minnesota Eagle Scout hopeful Jonathan Howe are installing a web camera on the Great Spirit Bluff in Minnesota this weekend. The camera will trace the lives of a nesting pair of peregrine falcons. The first falcon activity at the nest could begin sometime next February or March. The video can be viewed at the website ustream.tv. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, Mary Meehan Stroob, John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau, as well as network news from Wisconsin Public Radio and NPR. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse.